We want that care manager to have all of that information right there. You know, basically it's on that one screen. We want to simplify it to that they can have all that pulled in.
From InterSystems, it's the Healthy Data Podcast. I'm Jordan Cooper. To learn more about this and other episodes, please visit podcast.healthydata.com.
We're here today with Sam Garris of Humana. He's Associate Vice President of Information and Technology of Healthcare Services at Humana. Sam, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Jordan. It's really a pleasure for you to invite me, and looking for a great discussion.
So for as background for our listeners, Humana is a health insurer based in Louisville, Kentucky, with 11 million commercial and Medicare Advantage health plan members in the United States. Now, today we'll be talking about particularly about Humana's response to COVID and how that those innovations have been leveraged in a post-COVID world. Particularly, we'll be speaking about the use of artificial intelligence and machine learning-driven data analytics platforms that were used at Humana to create cohorts for member outreach during Humana's initial response to COVID and subsequently to reduce readmission rates post-discharge. Sam, I'd like to kick off the conversation by asking how those products that Humana developed in order to respond to COVID are being leveraged today to improve outcomes.
Yeah, Jordan. So as everyone knows, it's been 3 years since that time in March of 2020 when the world did change, and we all had to go through it, adopt, you know, really basically overnight to what was happening in real time throughout the world. So, and here at Humana, we you know, this aside from making sure all our employees and associates were safe and moving everybody to work from home and getting all that set up, we also had to focus on our members, and more specifically our Medicare Advantage members, who are you know, seniors in their 60s, 70s, 80s, some in their 90s, obviously, and really were struggling with the lockdowns and the lack of being able to go out, get their medications, getting their food delivered to them. So what we did, I won't say overnight, but it seemed like it was overnight. Within a few days, we were able to get all the information that we had on our members, all the analytics that we had, and really retooled that to really target those members that were at a high risk. You know, like you referenced in the beginning, we have, you know, several million members for Medicare Advantage. So we just couldn't all at once try to contact every single member at the same time. Really had to make sure that we were targeting the most at risk. So our data scientists, our IT teams, and everybody just really worked round the clock, basically, for several days, and were able to identify quickly who those members were that we needed to target that were more at risk. So, and be able to put them into those categories. And so once we did that, we probably identified around 50,000 or so members that were in that super high risk category. They were you know, comorbidities, multiple chronic conditions, were living at home by themselves, were in an area that was highly impacted at the time when COVID started. I think you remember that the New York area, the Northeast, was being hit really hard at first. So we targeted, built that into the model as far as who we were going to target. And we just really pivoted our teams and had to implement a lot of changes within the processes that we run within Humana to funnel those members right there. And so continue to use that analysis as far as who we would target. And so then once we got through the high risk, and then just kept working through it. So it was really out of that, we were able to adopt a lot of those practices. And as far as how we now do our outreaches today and how we try to really target who those at-risk members are and who we really need to focus on instead of just doing a broad overall campaigns toward those members.
Would you be able to elaborate upon the nature of the messaging that was sent to those 50,000 people?
So it was really more of a personal touch. We were so back up a little bit. So within the Humana organization as a whole, we and as most just about every other healthcare company has, we have our care management teams and are really focused on, you know, when you get discharged from the hospital or you maybe have certain circumstances that meet that high level of care. And so we had those teams in place, but we really pivoted them towards those at-risk members. So really just kind of separated ourselves from our traditional ways of operating and really going after those members. So we also partnered with a lot of companies that were specific to the area. So like in New York, there was a lot of meal service companies that we were able to contact with. So it may not have been caught in, if we couldn't get in touch with the member directly, or if we did, and they said, well, I'm fine, I'm okay, but I'm really having a hard time going out and getting, you know, just some food delivered to me. Either they maybe from a physical standpoint, they couldn't do it, or just because of the lockdowns that were in place, couldn't do it. So we contracted with a lot of and found the best meal service deliveries for seniors that we could partner with. And, you know, we would make the call for them. We would say, hey, we've got, this person that's at this address in New York, and we want to have this this food delivered to them. So we really were able to do that quickly. So that was kind of how we handled it. And then as we started to move more into a broader population, it may have been just an automated call out, you know, if everything was going okay, if you need more assistance, you know, here's where you can contact, some email campaigns, more of those types of more traditional outreaches that we would do.
So I'm interested, obviously 40 years ago, you wouldn't see a health insurer paying for groceries for their members. I think to some extent that probably reflects the increasing prevalence of value-based payment models. But then again, you are the payer. I'm wondering, is Humana fully at risk, especially with these publicly funded programs? Would you speak to the evolution of how Humana has been seeing its role in caring for its members, promoting health, and in particular, what would lead an organization like Humana to begin coordinating with meal service companies?
Well, I think it's all, you know, this is across everyone, and it's really about how do you continue to engage with the members? You talked about value-based cares, bringing those incentives to the providers to actually be vested in the outcomes for their members, for their patients. And, you know, I think we're as an industry learning through that, more and moving, you know, the traditional fee for service. You go to the doctor, you get your, you know, your procedure, you do whatever you're doing, and then you get, you know, you charge a fee and you get paid. So that's, you know, that's all still a big part, obviously, of how with Medicare and Medicare Advantage, and, you know, trying to drive more towards the value-based outcomes or plans and going that way. But, you know, Humana at least has always been focused on the member and those outcomes, and just their overall well-being. And, you know, that's an easy thing to say and it's very broad, but are we able to impact their overall health by how the programs we do? For, you know, for example, like, you know, again, how some of that work that we did related to COVID now is kind of advanced 3 years later into a lot of it's just normal day-to-day practices. As soon as our members are discharged from the hospital, you know, that kicks in our processes to go through the algorithms that we have to determine what members are at higher risk for readmission within that 30-day window. So we know that if you can get to the member, you know, if the members can do follow-up within a certain period of time, if they can get their medications timely, that they're not going to be readmitted within that 30 days.
So Sam, you are the Associate Vice President of Information Technology. So I'd like to delve into, your analytics, but also first the tech infrastructure that's required to create those cohorts, to drive that new outreach. Would you speak about what solutions you've been leveraging in order to identify those cohorts and then subsequently to manage all the different connection points and different data interoperability that's required to facilitate
There's a lot there, but and I'll try to keep it as, you know, as high level, or at least from an understanding. But, you know, we all talk about, you know, the cloud, and we're moving to this, and, you know, a lot of for healthcare companies, what does that really mean? But for me, it's where we're at, is that leveraging the cloud capabilities, and that can be with multiple, you know, partners. It could be you know, with Microsoft or Google or Snowflake and other large scale data platforms that are either SaaS or cloud based or leverage certain cloud providers that we can utilize to house an enormous amount of data that we're dealing with. I mean, we're talking about, you know, again, as you referenced earlier, we have millions of members, millions of claims, you know, all that, millions of medical records, pharmacy information, you know, all that, and pulling that all together and driving to what the best outcomes would be and how we enable or engage the right members for those outreaches that we're doing. So again, just using that example of say you're discharged for whatever the procedure was, and let's say it was a knee replacement. So you go in for your knee replacement, you're in the hospital for a few days, and you get discharged. So we get that discharge event. Now you may be a little bit different than your normal knee replacement. Maybe you had some other conditions that put you at a little bit of higher risk, you know, higher risk of infection, a higher risk of, you know, maybe you're older, or, you know, so your rehab may not be as great, or you have a higher risk of, you know, getting another potential injury as a result of, you know, the knee replacement you just had within that time window. So, the data that we have and what some of the prior experiences have been will all be used as far as formulating a method about who would you fall in that category? Would we want to have a heightened level of outreach to you? So
suppose we have Sam Smith. He mm-hmm. lives in a suburb of Louisville, Kentucky. Yep. He's maybe 50 miles away, kind of suburban rural area. And let's say he's 73 years old. And the thing about Sam is, you know, he visits he got an MRI at a standalone center. He visited a PCP at an independent practice. He was able to get orthopedic care from a specialty orthopedic yeah. practice. He yeah. had an inpatient stay, right? How do you reconcile all those different data sources? EHR is going to be living in Epic, another in Cerner. There's going to be yep. Allscripts. And there's a PBM that mails him his drugs. How do you reconcile all these different data sources, data formats, and pull them all together in such a way that you're able to compare apples to apples with one source of truth and create that cohort among all your 11 million customers? Paying a couple yeah.
I mean, that's the challenge. And that's what we've been really, that's our whole integration strategy that we're doing. So we're at the beginning of it. I think all of us are. And I think we've done with Humana, I think we've really advanced it significantly. I mean, you know, all of what you just mentioned, we're gathering pieces of that, integrating it all. We really, from a simplistic method, we want when our care managers get that, I think you said Sam Smith in Kentucky, when we get that acknowledgement that, hey, we got a referral that Sam Smith, or we would call it a referral, but, you know, we need to reach out to Sam. Maybe we need to do an initial assessment, kind of get where they're at, you know, how they're doing. We want that care manager to have all of that information right there. You know, basically it's on that one screen. We want to simplify it to that they can have all that pulled in. Now, is it all going to be there? It's trying to get everything that at least we have access to. You mentioned Epic. You know, we have a lot of, we work very closely with Epic, obviously, and try to do all that integration. So how were those other sources we can get? Are there third-party vendors that we can use that are leveraging and pulling that information and complete some of that integration pieces and pull those all together? So, but yes, that's the challenge, is making sure that we have. And we also want to make sure it's really difficult. Even within Humana, we may have another group that's focused on closing gaps in care. So say you're a certain age and you haven't, you know, you just turned 50 and you never had a colonoscopy. So we want to make sure you get that done. Maybe you haven't had a mammogram, or you're due for one, or whatever your situation is. So there's other teams that may be doing that outreach. While Sam Smith, he just got released for that knee replacement, we want to make sure we're not having multiple people contacting and just really overwhelming the member as well. So integrating that all together, and what those things are, And, you know, we don't want to tell Sam that just got out of the hospital with the knee replacement that they should also go get a colonoscopy. And that's not a great member experience. So, so really, how do we get that all there? So, but that's a challenge. I mean, but it's all member focused. It's all outcomes based. It's all, how do we eventually enable and get to the point where we're influencing the overall health of the member and giving them what they need.
Now that you've been operating with these programs for a few years, have you gotten any feedback from patients, for instance, any sort of HEDIS scores?
Yeah, I think, that's very well known. I mean, Humana is, done great the past couple of years mm-hmm. with our scores and, a lot of the plans that have been there. So that's always, a major focus across the organization, across all of all the healthcare payers and all within the healthcare system. I mean, I think that's kind of a great benefit of it, as we're really focused on the member. By implementing those programs, it's going to improve those scores, and it just continues down that chain. So we're not doing it just because we want to improve our scores. Mm-hmm. We're also doing it because it's going to impact the health of the members. So
Sam, as we approach the end of this podcast episode, I'd like to bring us back to the original topic that we introduced at the top of the hour here. And that topic is analytics, particularly machine learning driven analytics, and how those algorithms are being applied in a post-COVID world. Would you speak more about what sort of innovations your analytics platform is working on? What sort of projects?
I'll give one great example. And actually, I believe we're one of the finalists for one of the CIO awards. So we're hoping to get that. I think it's going to be announced here, over the next few months. So hopefully we win that. But I can tell you a little bit about it. So as you know, we get, the healthcare industry, we still get lots, providers still use faxes, right? And believe it or not, that's still a technology that's being utilized. So as our pre-authorizations come in, we talked about knee replacement, whatever the procedures are, there could be another request for the medical records, different types of things, maybe there's just more specific requests for those pre-auths. So a lot of those are mostly faxed in from the provider. So we receive those, and it could be a fax to mail, fax to email type situation. So we'll get those in. And so we've implemented a more of a natural language processing, but also feeds into the machine learning to kind of get what some of the more common ones that we're receiving are. And so we can really batch those up. And then we will funnel those and try to match those back to the authorization that, or the pre-auth that was originally requested for that information. So before, we would have a team of people that would go in and say, okay, we just received, 1,000 faxes in the past hour. Let's see. Okay, this one is for authorization A, this one's for authorization B. Let me go make that linkage within our utilization management system and put all those connection points together. So now we can use the natural language processing, a lot of the ML that can continue to learn, feed off of itself, and then be able to start to match up where those should go. Now, we still have a level of verification, so we still want to make sure that it did match up. But I think as we continue to advance this and get to it, it's just those are going to be coming, and those are just going to be completely funneled to it. So you can imagine the efficiencies that we're gaining there. It's reduced our time of, maybe taking 10 minutes or so to go through that and trying to match it up with a pre-op down to just a minute or so. And eventually that will go down to zero because we won't need any user interaction at all. So that's a great initiative. That's a simple example, but it's one that's really paid off significantly. And just to end too, I know you may have seen that, Larry Ellison from Oracle mentioned on their earnings report a couple of weeks ago some of the work that they're doing on reducing readmission rates and some of the AI that they're doing. And he compared it to, ChatGPT can write your high school essay, but, a lot of things that we're doing within the healthcare space is reducing readmission rates. And I think that was a powerful statement about how the AI is not just about, you know, telling you where you want to go for your next, you know, restaurant, you know, which restaurant you want to book, or writing, helping you write an email. It's also using that to really target where you can reduce the, like we talked about before, the readmission rates. And that's really powerful. It's, it benefits the member, and it's also from a claims experience and expenditure, it can significantly reduce that.
Well, thanks, Sam. We've covered a lot of ground today, from taking care of COVID, identifying high-risk patients, leveraging analytics, and once you identify these cohorts, to not only do personal outreach, but also to reduce 30-day readmissions. We've discussed integration strategy, the challenges of actually logistically making all that possible, and I hope that our listeners will appreciate these use cases that you walked us through today. So, awesome. Again... Yeah, for our listeners, this has been Sam Garris, the Associate Vice President of Information Technology and Healthcare Services at Humana. Sam, on behalf of all our listeners, I'd like to thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Jordan. Really appreciate it.
From InterSystems, this has been the Healthy Data Podcast. I'm Jordan Cooper. Thank you for listening.